Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down, and they now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a great lion crouching in cover. Psalm 17.
I am floating in a disembodied fever, suspended between heaven and earth. I no longer belong to either. I am their refuse. Hopeless and panting in the jaws of the beast who ran me to the ground, I am now dragged through the clouds like hapless game through the killing fields. Waiting for Emma to appear with some sort of impending spiritual sanctuary, I feel instead a profound and frightening loneliness. Expecting a disengaging peace, I feel silence. Tambi is telling me about Darcy's will. She left everything to David, but if something were to happen to him, then everything goes to me. Everything. The money, the houses, the business, and a seat with the Big Six. Words. I hear, but I'm not listening. I feel so bad. So weak. It's all I can do to just sit up. I think seriously about sliding down from my chair to lie in the aisle. But I'm convinced Tambi will toss me from the plane if I do. I figure as long as I pretend I'm listening, she'll keep talking. But how long I can keep it up, I don't know. Then she says something that catches my attention. Something that doesn't add up. Wait. What? Veronica?
Veronica Pace, your successor.
You mean Veronica Boudot?
That's an alias.
But the FBI
knows what we want them to know. Veronica Pace, alias Veronica Boudot, of humble New Orleans upbringings. Alias Beverly Pace, of the Upper Washington social set. Alias Rachel Hampton, of Packard Yard, New York. The list goes on. Shall I continue?
No. What's the point of all this?
Veronica wants to resurrect the Parker girls, and she wants to spearhead the operation.
Pretty ambitious for a chauffeur.
Never trust the quiet, contrite ones.
How long has this been going on?
This goes back to before you came in. Veronica and Sam were planning a coup d'etat to seize the operation from Darcy. They knew that Sal Tucciani and the other in the Big Six were not happy with Darcy's lack of respect and discretion. So they offered him a deal. Help them remove Darcy and sanction their new management, and in return, they assured him a significant increase in branch cooperation, plus a higher percentage of the take.
Idiots.
That's when Sal sent me in.
To help them?
To watch them. Sal's not stupid. He wasn't about to waste time with a couple of zealous foot soldiers. But he knew they were a precursor of things to come. My job was to protect the interests of the company, whatever that required.
And Darcy never knew?
I don't think so.
Why are you telling me all this?
Because that's when you came in. You changed everything.
Me?
All of this was in place when Emma introduced you to Darcy. She knew Darcy had a fetish for teenage girls.
Wait a minute.
And Emma needed the money for Crank.
That's a damn lie.
Is it? Why do you think Emma got you into prostitution? What happened to all the money you made?
Emma handled all that.
Why do you think she pulled you off the streets? Because she felt sorry for you? You were a cash cow to her. Don't tell me you've been harboring some sort of romantic illusion about her. Not you. I didn't know that.
Look, I'm not in a hurry to die, but why are we having this conversation?
My goal here is to tell you the truth. About everything.
Why? What difference does it make now?
Darcy fell in love with you. She trusted you. She even confided in you. You began to offer your opinion, and your observations were astute. You directed her through several complicated situations, and your influence eventually made the Parker operation more powerful and complex than anyone thought possible. In short, to everyone's surprise, it turns out that you have a gift for this line of work. That's why Samantha and Veronica set you up.
That's what I've been saying! And you knew this all along?
I told you. My job was to protect the company, not fix your problems. Darcy had a party for David and invited Senator Chalmers, who was bringing her a payment for a blackmail deal she was working on him. She sent you and Emma upstairs under the pretext of rewarding his cooperation, but the hidden cameras would serve to perpetuate his servitude. The senator had the money on him. When Samantha went to sweep the room of liabilities after you and Emma were finished, she intended to take the money and hide it. You and Emma would be accused of the crime, and if all went according to plan, the two of you would never see the light of day again. Simple enough, right? What could possibly go wrong? But you beat them to the punch. You disappeared with the money before they had a chance to nail you. I must say, I was impressed. Your timing has always been impeccable, Miss Chuvansky.
I didn't take the money.
I know. Emma took it, didn't she? You didn't even know she had it until she showed it you in Hawaii, did you? You just wanted to run away. But she complicated matters. How am I doing so far?
It's pissing me off you knew all this and didn't say anything.
You flew to Zurich and opened an account in Samantha's name. Brilliant move, by the way. Very farsighted. And when you rejoined Emma in Hawaii, we were waiting for you. The money was nowhere to be found. You acted like you didn't know what we were talking about. Emma overdoses on her new crank and nearly drowns. Sam and Veronica want to crucify you, and Darcy wants the prodigal daughter to come home. Would you care for a drink?
No.
Darcy wouldn't let them kill you, so they let you go. You and Emma split up to fork the trail. She goes home to Toronto, and you to Houston. Sam's plan was to follow you, convinced you'd lead them to the money. Then she could use the whole mess to discredit Darcy and get what she wanted. But you do nothing. You lay low, and Sam grows impatient. The money she's siphoning off the company isn't enough. She vilifies you to Parker, so they send David. Sam has told David will win your trust and return with the goods, but Darcy only tells the boy to go to Houston and keep an eye on you. David is delighted to do what she asks. He's had a thing for you from the moment you two met at the party. Darcy sets him up in an apartment in Houston, gives him an allowance he barely touches, and asks him to call her once a week. He's attached himself to you and your girlfriend, dutifully calling Darcy with boring reports of your uncharacteristic domesticity. Darcy listens to each report with growing incredulation. Who is this starving artist David talks about? This unkempt, chain-smoking painter who watches daytime television and tries unsuccessfully to seduce her trailer park girlfriend. Can this be the same woman who once ran the world's most powerful empire from the wings? Who traveled the world in designer fashions and knew the global elite on a first-name basis? Darcy grows more confused with each new report of your domestic blue-collar life. And you knew exactly what you were doing, didn't you? It was the only time I ever saw her cry. Darcy is growing suspicious of David's objectivity when she gets a call from a disgruntled Houston cop who lost his job after you charged him with sexual assault. He's checked your file and sees your link to Mrs. Parker and the issue of embezzlement. He attempts to rat you out, but she hires him to tail you instead. And he promptly loses you. You disappear without a trace. You're so careful, you don't even tell the girlfriend you're going. We think you've gone to Emma in Canada, but we don't know where she is. All we can do is wait for you to resurface.
I've had my life flash in front of me before, but it has never taken this long.
Bear with me. There's a point to all this.
Hey, if you can find the point to my life, God bless.
Darcy was afraid you'd bolted for good. So when you return to Houston a couple of months later, she sends me to make sure you don't disappear again before she can come see for herself what has become of her golden girl.
Do you have any idea what it's like to try to rebuild your life with people you care about and know it's only a matter of time before the past comes to take it all away?
No. But I'm not the Cinderella in this story. I told you in Hana, it would only be a matter of time. Yes? Thank you. We'll be on the ground in 15 minutes.
Look, if you're finished playing This Is Your Life, I'd like to wash up and slit my wrists before we land.
We're running out of time, so I'll get to the point.
Thank God.
I've been with the company a long time, Katina, and the truth of it is they're not the brightest people I've ever worked with. Times have changed, but the company hasn't. We are an anachronism. The company was built by muscle and force, but there's a limit to how much territory can be taken in that manner. The frontier of today isn't real estate. It's cyberspace. The new frontier is a vast wasteland of the nouveau riche tech companies run by little boys. They are the biggest, the richest, the fastest growing bloc in the world, and nobody has claimed the territory yet. The old boys are chasing the money on the back end, but the bulk of it never comes through. An intelligent operation would infiltrate the source. That's where you come in. I know you, Katina. I've watched you come up. I know every move you've made since you were 16. Your influence made the Parker Girls the most powerful contemporary branch of the company, and you did it without even trying. You're an extraordinary woman. I want to start a new branch of the company, and I want you to run it.
Are you serious?
We'll be equal partners. We'll take what we learned from the Parker Girls and build from there. You can bring in anyone you like, and I'll take care of the physical operations. This is your destiny, Katina. This is what you were groomed for. They don't know it yet, but you are the reason the Big Six was afraid of the Parker Girls. And I have every confidence that with you at the helm, our new operation will be the most powerful branch in the company. Sal has men waiting for us on the ground. I need your decision before we land, Katina. What's your answer?
Good morning, Marty. Long night.
Oh, not too bad.
You ready to take off?
Yes, I'm just going to look in on Mr. Chin before I go.
How's he doing?
Oh, he's holding on. Poor man. The vital signs are stable. There's a woman with him. She's been up all night holding his hand.
Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as...
Oh, sorry, excuse me. I'm just going off duty now, and I wanted to check in on him before we go. Have you, noticed any changes?
Uh-uh.
Well, I see you found a Bible.
Yeah, they had one in the chapel.
We do see a lot of praying on this floor.
Well, I don't know if I believe in it that much, but I think he does.
You know, we have a courtesy room on the fourth floor. You can use it to get some sleep, and we can call you if anything happens.
I'm not leaving until he does.
Okay. Well, I'll see you tonight then.
Night. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more.
You've been listening to Episode 8 of Strangers in Paradise, Book 8, My Other Life, by Terry Moore, adapted by Nicole Tomte. Produced by Chris Honeywell and Nicole Tomte. Sound designed by Chris Honeywell. Music provided by Jim Moon and the Eldritch Light Orchestra. David Ellis was narrator. Vanessa Van Zer was Cachou. Sarah Palmero was Tambi. Katani was Nurse. John Wilson was Marty. Nicole Tomte was Francine. This is a fan work produced with the cooperation of Mr. Moore, done solely out of love for the property. We lay no claim to the rights or characters. Please read the original series and other works by Mr. Moore, available through abstractstudiocomics.com. Now you can reminisce with every Strangers in Paradise audio drama omnibus available on archive.org. Spread the word. You can contact us at 8twinformation@gmail.com and join the conversation in the 8tw Discord. You can find the invite at twotruefreaks.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.